Turn with me in the Book of Confessions to Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 39. This can be found on page 47. The Heidelberg Catechism asks, what is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? And it answers, that I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on His Word as we consider it this afternoon. Our Heavenly Father, we've asked You to teach us Your way. We know Your Word is true, we know Your will is perfect, and we know that You call us by faith to live under Your authority and to follow Your law. Strengthen us for this. When we have to resist our natural inclinations to follow You, help us to live by faith and not by sight. We ask, Heavenly Father, that as we hear Your word this afternoon, that You would guide us and lead us as families to serve and honor You, but also as a church and as citizens of this country. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, last week we looked at God's establishment of authority, and we noticed in that last phrase that those in authority over us are imperfect, and even though they are imperfect, yet God chooses to rule us through them. They're in authority over us because God has chosen them, because God has established them. They are there by right of God's establishment. And we notice that with Cyrus as well, that he didn't lift himself up. He didn't get the success that he had just by his own doing, but it was because of God's working with him. And when we submit to them, we closed recognizing that this requires patience, it requires prayer, and it requires practice. Patience, prayer, and practice, because they are there by God's establishment. Well, this afternoon I'd like us to look at God's exercise of authority, how we live under God's exercise of authority. And it's furthering this practice of honoring authority that God's Word is addressing this afternoon. Almost every epistle, every letter in the New Testament touches on our responsibility to submit to those in authority. And this is something that we will wrestle with in all of our lives. It would be the height of pride to say that we don't have a problem with this. Sin has affected us so much that it to live in submission, to live under authority, goes against our grain. It's kind of like running your hand, whether it's the right way or the wrong way, I don't know how to refer to it. You run your hand one way on the cheese grater and it's not going to be any problem. You run it the other way on the cheese grater and sure enough, it's going to cut and it's going to hurt. And that's what happens. Sometimes if we just go along, things won't be a problem. But when we rise up, then we get hurt. And it's in those times of hurt particularly that we need to wrestle with how do we live in submission to God, but also in submission to those in authority over us. If it were easy, all of the epistles of God's Word wouldn't require this of us. But God knows that it's not easy. And we need to recognize that this means we can't excuse ourselves. Similarly, when those around us are simply going against authority, that doesn't make it right for us. And now we may object and say, but this is way too much to ask. I just can't do it. And so we don't try. And that's where we need to recognize what God's Word is calling us to, and what Paul is saying and what Peter is saying. Paul in Ephesians and Peter in 1 Peter are reminding us that it's not just a random submission or an ambiguous submission to authority. Instead, our practice of authority and the Lord's exercise of authority reminds us that we need to honor those in authority over us in the Lord. In the Lord. Or as Peter says, for the Lord's sake. And I would like to look at this fundamentally this afternoon in the context of our homes. You see, the home is uniquely designed by God, not separate from the church, not indifferent to the state, but the home is kind of the training ground where we learn to live in the church, but also in society. It's that place of familiarity and a place of love and a place of nurture where God wants us to grow and mature in a way of honoring those in authority over us. And so we're going to focus particularly on our families. And as we honor those in authority over us, as we recognize the Lord's exercise, not only His establishment, but His calling for us to exercise this submission to Him, we're going to see that we honor authority according to the Lord's purpose, first of all, according to the Lord's grace, secondly, and according to the Lord's promise, thirdly. So the Lord's purpose, the Lord's grace, and the Lord's promise. Now we need to recognize that this is the purpose of the Lord, first of all. Peter reminds us, as he lays out this calling for authority, that you have been called for this purpose. That you have a calling from God for this design. He says this in verse 21. When it comes to living under those in authority over us, he's dealing with servants and masters particularly, but it applies to all people, that we have this responsibility. In verse 21, he says, "To this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you may follow in His footsteps." Again, here he's dealing with this beautiful character of our calling as God's children. And God's purpose and His design for authority plays out specifically in the home. You see, the wonder of the home is there's no hiding. There's no hiding. Those in your household, those in your family, they know you. You can hide your misbehavior in the church. We call that hypocrisy. You can put on a front. That's the character of hypocrisy. People don't know how you live your lives during the week. You can hide it from them, how you live at work and how you live at school. In the state, people try to hide their disobedience. Lawyers and courts are filled with those who are trying to disguise their disobedience. Now we need to recognize as well, generally speaking, that even within the state, we've been blessed. God in His common grace exercises a restraint on man's heart so that normally most people try to live on the right side of the law. There are a few who don't, and often they make it difficult for everyone. But even here, we must learn that the conformity of our behavior is not simply an external show, but it has to do with our hearts. And that's the beauty of God's design for the home. Home and the family is the place where life happens. Home is where you show what's on your heart. Young people, Facebook is not your family, because there you're still in control of what you show. But at home, everyone knows what's on your heart. You know what lives in a person's heart from the way they relate within their family. This is the way God has designed it. This is the Lord's purpose. Parents, you have a responsibility to know your children, to love your children. We didn't read it in Ephesians 6, verse 4. Particularly fathers, you have the responsibility not to provoke your children to wrath. But you have a responsibility in knowing your children to watch, to observe, to listen, to learn, to consider how do your children deal with sin? What is their inclination? And if you ignore that, if you overlook that, if you don't address it, you are provoking them to wrath. Not your wrath, but the Lord's wrath, because their sin needs to be addressed. And the family is God's particular gift for dealing with that. Life happens within the family, and children, you need to be assured that your parents know this as well. That God has particularly placed them over you. None of you have chosen your parents, just like none of you have chosen when you were to be born. God has blessed you with them. And so it's in the family where your heart is shown. And now here we have to be careful. Here we have to be careful because there are instances in the family that actually destroy the family when we live by that notion that blood is thicker than water, and so something happens within the family and we circle the wagons and we're going to deal with this all internally and we're going to deal with this by ourselves, and sometimes it doesn't get addressed, sometimes it doesn't get dealt with, it gets swept under the carpet. Because we think that blood is thicker than water. Because our family connections are what is going to hold us together. And that's it. That's all there is to it. But that denies God's purpose, and God's purpose is abandoned. And that is when the families will begin to become dysfunctional and begin to destroy themselves because sin remains unaddressed within the family. We see this already very early on in Scripture with Cain and Abel. There's a great destruction in the first family because sin is not being addressed by Cain. God comes to Cain and says, sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is to be master of you. You need to deal with it. We mustn't be naive about the existence of sin within our families. And the Lord's purpose is not to hide sin in the family, but to deal with it. For the Lord's sake. To deal with sin in the Lord. And here's the wonder. Here's the blessing. Here's the privilege of the church to assist the family. Because in the church, we learn again, and the Lord is addressing us, that there's not the blood of the family that can atone for sins. There is a water that is thicker than the blood of the family. Signified and symbolizing the blood of Jesus Christ that binds us together, that there is hope no matter what the sin might be, no matter how profoundly you might have desired to hide it and to help it, and you get frustrated within the family, there's a bond with Christ which allows the families to flourish. And this is where, in the family particularly, where you will need the Lord's help most desperately in dealing with sin, because you have an intimate insight into those who live in your homes. And that's the Lord's purpose. The Lord's purpose is for us to learn to show His grace. That secondly, the Lord's purpose within the family is to understand His grace. Children, can you obey your parents? It's not always easy. I'm not asking if you should obey your parents. I'm asking, are you able to obey your parents? You know that God wants you to do that. But honestly, when you become a teenager, and even earlier than that, it can be very difficult. We want to establish our own independence, our own identity, and it seems like those parents that God has chosen for us don't seem to understand us. Obedience to parents is dismissed in our culture. It's regarded as hurtful, harmful, oppressive, doctrinaire, an imposition upon our freedom. But now listen carefully. The Bible isn't calling you tonight, just do it. Amazingly, the Bible doesn't just say to you, now children, just obey your parents. That's what you have to do because that is just what I want you to do. You can do it if you just try a little harder. If you give yourself more incentive. The Bible isn't telling you either to obey your parents because they are always right. Nor is it telling you to obey them when they can prove they are right. I don't know if you've had those discussions with your teenagers. They get a little lengthy because you have to extract from them how they understand that you're right. That's not what God is calling us to do. There is a most important addition. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. You need to realize the grace of the Lord. The gracious character, the gracious kindness, the goodness of God in calling you to obey. Not by yourself. Not by your own efforts. Not by trying a little harder. Not by having better resolve to do this in the coming week. How is it there can be harmony and sympathy? Because your parents don't get it right. And it's when they don't get it right that those in the Lord realities are so important. You see, the Bible isn't telling you to obey perfect parents. Praise God for that, because all of us fail. But the exercise of obedience that God calls us to is an exercise of devotion to Him. To Him. For His sake. Not for their sake. For His sake. Sometimes parents' requirements can seem so unreasonable, so irrelevant, so harmful. And it seems like what God is calling us to is going to destroy us. And here is where these words are so important. Obey them in the Lord, with a commitment to His grace, to His sovereignty, to His control, to His design, that He will help, that He has a purpose, that He has a design in your family for your soul to understand His grace. Parents, a word of encouragement for you. You don't have to prove to your children that you have a perfect insight into their lives. But you need to deal with the root of their disobedience. Don't just target superficial conformity and leave the heart aside. Talk with them. Interact with them. Show them the heart. Children have a heart as we do. That's so easily ensnared by sins and it needs the gospel to be set free. You need to be able to bring that gospel to the core of their problems, and that is a relationship with the Lord. Anything less than that will exasperate them. And that's the Lord's grace that He calls us to. So that you can follow Christ as a parent or as a child in the way you live within the household. That you can follow His example. An example that doesn't respond to sin by overreaction. But is willing to place yourself and to expend yourself for the glory of Christ. And children, in obeying your parents, there is grace for you as a child of your parents. You will need God's grace. God isn't calling you to honor your father and mother without His grace, but because of it. Because of His grace to honor them. So if this is the Lord's purpose, if His grace is the root of our response, what is His promise? That thirdly. According to the Lord's promise. The promise. The promise of the God who controls everything. The promise of the God who knows everything. The promise of the God who is intimately familiar with you and with your family. It will go well with you. He promises. What a glorious thing when you obey in the Lord because of His grace, not because of your parents' worthiness, but because of His grace, because you're devoted and committed to Him. What will happen? This is a heart issue. It's a heart issue of what is the focus of your obedience? What is the focus of your life within the family? Whom do you listen to? Who do you trust? Who do you believe? It's so tempting to dismiss this promise. These are just words. It'll go well with you. This doesn't seem like there's any substance. Like so many other promises that we have in this world, it seems like they're just meant to be broken. But this is the Lord's Word. This is the Lord's Word who is in control, who has a design, who has a purpose, who has grace, and who gives you this promise. You can be assured by Him that you will receive the blessing of the Lord when you live before Him in this way. This doesn't mean you'll get your way at home tomorrow or next year. But you will see His blessing for future generations. A multi-generational endeavor that our children will grow up and remember what it means to serve the Lord. That God has a design for the family to deal with our hearts. And parents, this is a word for us as well. To appeal to authority in the name of the Lord. To say, children, you have to relate to me in this way with honor and obedience in the Lord. But here again, we need to be careful. Because to appeal in the name of the Lord, we must be sure that what we are teaching, what we are instructing, what we want for our children is not our way, is the Lord's way. We need to use our rules and our appeals for obedience to address issues of the heart. Not just to keep calm and comfortable within the home. Not just to get these children to do what I want, but to serve the Lord. And then as parents, we can show and we can speak positively of the blessings of serving the Lord instead of pulling rank and saying, you have to do this because I say so. We can say, we encourage you to obey because this is the Lord's will. And this is the Lord's promise. When you live in obedience, life, your future will go well. And as we closed last time looking at the need for prayer for all those in authority, this reminds us, this promise, God's grace, and His purpose is an urgent need of prayer for our rule, for parents and children in their relationship at home. Parents, pray for the hearts of your children. Pray with the hearts of your children. God has called you to be intimately familiar with where their hearts are. Strive for that and bring them the gospel, which includes their obedience to authority. And it will go well with you. Doesn't mean you won't suffer. Doesn't mean there won't be flare-ups, because we all live with sin. But it will mean you'll see the relationship of the Lord. May God help us as families, families that are under assault, because this is essential for the recovery of a strong society. Here's our witness to the world. Here's a way that we can evangelize the world, to engage the families for the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray.